I love being able to talk about brands that I use on my podcast, and I've personally been using this one for over 5 years. Our sponsor, Nature's Way Alive, women's multivitamin gummies are specifically formulated for women. They contain 16 vitamins and minerals, including the full B vitamin complex to help convert food into fuel, and have the added benefit of supporting healthy hair, skin, and nails. With just 2 delicious gummies, Nature's Way Alive women's multivitamin gummies are an easy way to feel like your best self every day. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/Gemma10 and use code Gemma10 at checkout for 10% off any Alive women's multivitamins. Terms and conditions apply, valid through June 30th. There is a whole collection of black lead products at Walmart that can fit into your daily routine. And in every purchase, there is power. So show black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. Because every time we buy a black-led brand, we make room for another. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choice at Walmart. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing black-owned products that you can add to your daily routine. Managing our money in our 20s can feel like a bit of a challenge, whether you're saving for your first car or for a big overseas trip. It can take time to get there. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Whether you are trying to manage your money in your 20s or trying to run a small business, Intuit helps you take control through products from Intuit like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, Intuit.com to start living yours. Let's get into it. Ugh, our 20s. The drunk dialing, the forgetting to wash our face at night, and yes, neglecting our teeth. Don't do that last one. You only get one set of teeth, so you need to protect them. Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface and locks in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. Pronamel also makes a new mouthwash, which helps to repair acid-weakened enamel beyond brushing alone. Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy your toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com today. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Psychology of Your 20s, the podcast where we talk through some of the big life changes and transitions of our 20s and what they mean for our psychology. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the podcast. New listeners, old listeners, wherever you are in the world, it is so great to have you here back for another episode of The Psychology of Your 20s. We have a lot to discuss today, a lot to learn, a lot of opinions to break down and to maybe confirm, maybe not. I'm really excited for it because I think that the dilemma we are discussing today is a pretty common dilemma. I think nearly every single one of us comes across it at some point in our lives, especially in our 20s. And what we are talking about today is disliking someone that one of your friends is dating. Okay, so let me paint a picture for you. Your friend has been single for a couple of years. You know, that's been really hard for her. She really is a lover girly. She is someone who loves being monogamous. She likes creating a bit of a nest and a home with the partner. And that just kind of hasn't really been part of her story recently. She's just really struggled to find someone. She's been on all the apps, putting herself out there. And then one day, she meets someone and they've been dating for a couple of months and you finally get to meet him and you hate him. He is not your kind of guy. He's dismissive. He's arrogant. And your friend just cannot seem to see what is going on. She is like gushing. She is super in love. And suddenly he is turning up everywhere, as is expected when one of your friends is in love with someone. You know, you go to the movies together, he's there. He's at every girls' night, every group outing, and the more opportunities you have to spend time with him, the more you actually grow to dislike him. So this is the dilemma. Do you say anything or you kind of bound into silence by the invisible pact we all have with our friends. You don't have to like everything that they do, but you do have to be supportive. I think that this experience is one that all of us can relate to. We can't be friends with everybody in the world. They're not all going to be our top, you know, our cup of tea. And unfortunately, one of those people we don't get along with may be destined to end up with someone that we do love and we love a lot as their partner. I think this is especially common and perhaps felt more profoundly in our 20s for two reasons. Firstly, this is really a period of exploration and romantic discovery for a lot of us, right? You know, we are exploring what we like, our type, the kind of people we see a future with, and there might be a few duds in there. There's probably going to be a few duds, actually. That is a big part of dating in our 20s, being open to different people, even if they are not always the one, per se. So just as you may have dated people your friends despised of, trust me, I have been there, I have done that, your friends are also going through the same kind of romantic developmental chapter, and they're going to bring people into their life and by association your life that you're just not going to like. Additionally, when we're talking about this decade of emerging adulthood, as psychologists would call it, our most important relationships are our friends and our partners, compared to in our childhood and teenage years when our parents and our families really played a bigger role. As we kind of leave the orbit of the family home, as we're kind of seeking independence, our friends become our support network. They are our confidants. They are the people that we probably spend the most time with. So sometimes these relationships can come into conflict, right? The relationship between your friends and your partner, especially if you're super close friends and you're finding that this new boyfriend or girlfriend or person is really getting in the way of a pre-established and very deep bond. You can't help but dislike the disruption of the norm and this new person because they have changed the nature of your friendship, you know, or it's just jealousy. Maybe it's personality differences. Maybe it's because there are really serious red flags that you know your friend cannot see. What do you do in those circumstances? Is it about keeping the peace versus speaking your mind? Do you have a right to get your point across? Or is it just one of those instances where you just have to stay silent? And you just kind of have to handle this with grace. Spoiler alert, it's very nuanced, but I would say the majority of the time, I think it's only right to bite your tongue, with a few exceptions that we're going to discuss. That's what we're going to be talking about, because I know this feeling. I have been both friends in this situation, right? I've been the friend who's been dating somebody that all of my friends said they hated and disliked and I didn't want to listen. And I've also been the person who's seen my friends in relationships like that and been like, what are they thinking? They need to leave. And there is actually quite a lot of psychology to pull from to describe some of this frustration, resentment, even sadness that we feel during these times. So let us get into it. I think it's best to firstly identify why you don't like your friend's partner. And how I see it is that we often don't like them for one of three reasons. Firstly, you don't like them personally because they just aren't your type of person, but they are your friend's type of person. There is some personality or preference clash going on. Secondly, you don't like them because this new relationship has changed the nature of your friendship, meaning that your friend is perhaps less accessible, less available, they're canceling plans to be with their partner. And this kind of leads to a resentment that is projected onto this new person when really it's just coming from a place of adjustment and what I like to call growing pains. And finally, you don't like your friend's partner because of how they treat your friend. You are beginning to notice some behaviors that are major red flags, whether that be control tactics, manipulation, anger, sometimes even abuse, weaponized incompetence. There's a long list of things that we're going to get to. And I think that that final class of reasons is probably the only exception to the don't say anything rule, right? When you know that this is like kind of a question of safety, I do think you have a right to speak up. And we're going to talk about that in a second. These three reasons obviously differ greatly in severity, right? Like, one is a matter of liking, one is a matter of insecurity, and the final one is really a matter of, like we said, safety. So we're going to talk about these three reasons separately. I think they deserve a different kind of response, of course, starting with, I would say, the first situation, which is definitely the majority of instances in which we don't like our friend's partner. And it really comes down to the fact that our preferences clash. And the person that they chose is not the person that we would have chosen for them based on our preferences. There is just something about them that sticks out that we can't look past. Maybe they're arrogant, they're boring, they're lazy, they're rude, they have a job that we don't agree with, and as a result, we kind of get a secondhand ick. It's really so interesting to me when this happens, because how is it that we can get along so well with someone, that being our friend, and not their partner? Because it's kind of like two limbs or branches like sticking out of the same tree, right? Like, you would think that they would be alike, but no, that is obviously not always the case. And a lot of this does come down to things that we independently decide for ourselves, like our non-negotiables, like our deal breakers, like our preferences that our friends are just not always going to share. Let's talk about the psychology of this for a little while. So each of us has a unique profile of what we find attractive in someone, or what we would call mating preferences in psychology. So these mating preferences, I know it sounds like super reductive, these preferences, they derive from a number of factors such as genetics, genetic imprinting, which essentially says that we seek out partners who resemble our parents, really strange, things like pheromones and their influence on sexual attraction, attachment style, self-perception, self-esteem, what feels familiar and safe to us. There is a whole number of studies that looks at what it is that creates this unique profile. That last factor is especially the target of a lot of academic consideration. We are attracted to people who feel like they complement us or they're similar to ourselves based on things like values, education level, socioeconomic status, how we were raised, even race. This may explain why we often see people date in their own league. And I know that is a really weird and reductionist phrase and a weird thing to say, but it kind of turns out to be true. It's not always about physical attraction. It's more about dating people who are aligned with you. We are more attracted to people who are like us in some domain. And we're seeing more research say that if someone meets our core requirements, we may tend to overlook or justify other things about them that may not be 100% what we want. There is, of course, also the theory that opposites attract. There's obviously some evidence for that, that, you know, we choose people based on our own weaknesses, based on their strengths that kind of counteract our weaknesses, better to say it like that. So if we are insecure, we seek out a partner who is confident. If, I don't know, we like the color yellow, we seek out a partner who likes the color blue, and then we have the full spectrum. You know, I don't fully think that that is true. That is a much more psychoanalytic theory and has less evidence. But I think, nonetheless, we've kind of been sidelined. Everything kind of combines to create this profile, right? What we find familiar creates a profile. What we find attractive based on our past creates this profile. Our education level creates this profile. Our attachment creates this profile. And this is going to be different for all of us. None of us are going to be the same. None of us are going to have the exact same background, the exact same upbringing, genetics, emotional and relationship history. Even like if you think about like your siblings, even people who are siblings end up dating people who are so different. So their standards are going to differ between you and your friend. And it's frustrating, but you kind of just have to be there to watch that and be there to accept that what you might look for in someone, they're not looking for as well. I think the reason this can be so uncomfortable is because you really want what's best for them. This is someone you adore and cherish, you obviously think is incredible. Very few people can meet the standard that you've set for your friend in your own mind. And we want to protect them from pain, right? It's very easy in those circumstances to think, you know, I know what is best. I know how to protect my friend. I know that this relationship isn't going to work. They need to just listen to me and they would avoid so much pain. I get it. You want to be their eyes whilst love is kind of biting them in a way. And whilst they're getting carried away in the honeymoon stage, you want to be their guide. And you might be sitting there thinking, you know, I need to do something about this as a friend. I'm going to pause you right there. It's important to remember that this person who they are dating, who you don't like, may be part of their journey, which is shitty as it is. Just because you see the potential mistake doesn't mean that you can do the work for your friend. They let you make your mistakes, I'm sure of it, and now it's your time to repay the favor. You don't know what this person will be for them in their journey, right? You don't know what kind of decisions they'll make for this person or to stay with this person that actually might end up creating a life after this person that's amazing. You don't know what this person is leading them to, what they need to experience through this relationship. All you see is someone you love and you want to kind of cushion the fall and make their life easier. And sometimes in those circumstances, I think you just have to bite your tongue. This is one of those examples. If they make your friend happy, if they are respectful and kind, that is an equally crucial factor. Maybe that's all we can ask for. And your dislike should not be a factor. I think, in fact, it can be rather hurtful if expressed. You know, I had a friend once say to me that an ex-partner of mine was boring and annoying. And you know what I interpreted that as? Whether this is correct or incorrect, I interpreted this at the time as my friend saying, you know, it's not that I don't like your partner, it's that I don't think that your preferences are good enough. I saw it as like a judgment of my standards and that they were so low that I was willing to be with this person because I was settling essentially. And so it turned from being a criticism of this guy, of my ex, to being a criticism of me. And it made me, in my mind at least, and it made me question the relationship, but also the friendship at the same time. Was I a bad judge of character? Is this what this person thought? What else did this friend think of me? Should I just break up with this guy? Because eventually I would see what my friends saw and there would be this endless round of I told you so's. I think when you criticize a person's partner out of personal dislike, you are not helping them and you are at risk of creating resentment, especially since we are seeing more research coming out of social psychology that our friends' opinions on our dating lives do impact our decision making. So there was this study published a few years ago out of Indiana University, and what they found was that when people knew that their friends did not like their partner, this greatly influenced the actual length of the relationship. Now that could be for two reasons. Either our friends impacted our decision and so we called it quits when we shouldn't have, or maybe our friend recognized something before we did, the relationship was doomed to fail. We just were in, you know, the friend just saw it before we had the opportunity to. I just think, regardless, don't put up the wall between yourself and this person that you care about from a place of judgment. An even larger consequence, I think, of you expressing your opinion and your friends disagreeing is that they will no longer want to talk to you about what's going on in their relationship. So if something seriously was to go wrong, they feel too ashamed or embarrassed or isolated to tell you anything because they don't want to deal with the embarrassment. They don't want to deal with you being like, oh, I knew all along. That's like the worst feeling that you can have. I think what's best in this situation is to really say nothing. Really kind of just have to bite your tongue. Make sure that your friend is still feels like they can rely on you to talk about it. They can rely on you to rant about it. They can ask for your advice and they can kind of come to you in times of need without the risk that your opinion on their partner is going to influence them or maybe hurt your friendship. I know it's really difficult because you obviously care, but there is definitely a level of sensitivity required. So let's talk about the second reason. You may not like your friend's partner because you are perhaps jealous. I know we don't like to admit it. Jealousy is an ugly word in our brains. To be called jealous is not something that we like to hear, and jealousy is also not something that we're likely going to fess up to. But sometimes we just can't help that feeling. It's like any other emotion. It sometimes feels like it's coming from a place that we don't have control over. And it's not necessarily sexual jealousy. You are not attracted to their friend. You are not attracted to their partner. It's more a form of platonic jealousy, whereby you feel like this previously solid friendship and bond has been dismantled by this new relationship, whereby suddenly your friend has a new set of priorities and you are not as high on the list as their partner is. I really get this. I really do. It's always so much more fun when you and your friends are all single together, or you're all experiencing the same things, or there is that closeness. You're always the top of each other's list. And when that gets taken away from us because of a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend, we feel very instinctively, it's a natural reflex, I would say, to feel protective over the things that we value, whether that is a material possession or a relationship. Because innately, we are kind of greedy creatures, right? And we want people all to ourselves. I know that's kind of an ugly thing to say. That's something that I think we feel a lot of shame for. But it's just kind of the truth, right? Humans want more. We always want more. We always want what's best for us. We always want more love, more possessions, more affection. And sometimes I think seeing something that we value, like our friend's affection and our friend's compassion and our friend's company, get quote unquote taken away, can lead us to feel very defensive. Unfortunately, I don't think that that is something we have control over, and it is not something that we can voice. There will come a time when we need to adjust and accept that other relationships may be a priority for people, especially if this new partner is someone that they're thinking about having kids with or settling down with or getting married. That happens a lot more the further we get into our 20s. And not to be like kind of tough love about it, but you can either stay in kind of Peter Pan land and be like, no, I want to be single and fun and get drunk and be all together for the rest of our lives and watch everyone else outgrow that dream and outgrow that version of reality, or you can kind of adapt and grow with them. In those situations, though, I do still feel like if you're sensing resentment coming up towards your friend, that is something you need to talk about. You don't necessarily need to say, hey, I'm jealous of your boyfriend because he gets more of your attention and that's so unfair. You can be delicate about it. I think it's worth addressing and saying, hey, like, next time we hang out, can we just have one-on-one time? You know, I'm really missing you and I feel like we haven't had a chance to like fully, you know, catch up. Ask them to hang out one-on-one. Be somewhat assertive that you need quality time, that it is just you and them, or that there are things that you don't want to share with a stranger, i.e. their new boyfriend or girlfriend. I think a good friend is receptive to that and they don't want to see you hurt or bothered or upset. So they'll listen to you. They'll notice that there is something that is on your mind. Perhaps they'll address it or they'll probably guess it and they'll make some change that your relationship is being not jeopardized, but is being altered and changed by their new priorities, and they have to decide whether they want to continue with that priority list or make sure that you feel cared for. Again, this isn't about you expressing an opinion about their partner or wanting to have some influence over their decision making when it comes to their relationship. This is just about addressing what is within your scope, which is the quality of your friendship and what you feel you need and your relationship needs in order to be sustained. I think although these examples are tough, they do require us to have a bit of sensitivity and think about what we would want to hear in these situations. We all know what it feels like to just be like totally enraptured with someone, totally head over heels. We have our blinders on. We really can't see anything but them. And it is like a wonderful time. It will also, at some stage, pass. And you want to make sure that your relationships, your friendships, are still there when it does. So I think just catching your friend's attention and being like, hey, I would love to just like see you one-on-one. I would love to talk to you one-on-one. Can we do something that's like quality time? That's a really important first step. I think that if they respond to that positively, great. If they don't, that's a further discussion we have to be like, then you can kind of pull out the card of like, never say you don't like their partner, but do say like, I don't like how our relationship or our friendship has developed since you started dating this person. I'm so happy for you, but I also think that what we have is important and will be around, has been around a lot longer than this other relationship. Hopefully I want it to be around for the rest of our lives. So let's keep working on it. I do think though, there are other instances in which we can see things that our friend maybe can't. And you do feel like you need to intervene. You rightfully should be saying something. This does happen. And we're going to talk about all of that and more after this short break. Toxic relationships in our 20s, at any age, really, do exist. And they are a disaster to watch from the outside. They are so painful, especially when we feel powerless to do anything to help this person to change their situation. I think it's especially distressing when we see a friend falling into a situation we know is not good for them, and we really cannot intervene. And when we do attempt to intervene, it only serves to jeopardize the connection that we have with that person and our relationship with them. As a friend, I think we kind of take on the role of guardian angel in a lot of circumstances. We are the ones who defend our friends when they can't. We are there for them when they need us most. We will be honest with them about what matters and supportive about the things that, you know, might look small to us. And whilst I have readily been recommending a silence as the best policy for situations where you don't like your friend's partner, I think that there are a series of scenarios where you have a duty to speak up and speak up quickly. Here are some examples of this. I think if your friend is dating someone who is overly controlling and tries to limit their contact with you or other important people in their life, if they are dating someone who is physically, emotionally, mentally, verbally abusive, somebody who is enabling them and causing them to make decisions that you know are dangerous, someone who has lied to them about something, especially something important, and you know the truth, right? So if they are cheating on your friend or lying about something in their past and you know otherwise, I think that you really have a responsibility to say something. If this person is manipulating them financially, if they are displaying signs of extreme jealousy or possessiveness, I think essentially any kind of behaviors that are coercive, abusive, manipulative, or exploitative, you have a duty to intervene. Even if just from like a wellness check perspective, making sure they are okay, that is the bare minimum. There is certainly so much more that you can do, and I want to talk you through this, but before then, a quick caveat that there is so much advice to give, not all of it is going to match your situation, and there are so many other online resources for this, and trusted individuals like a psychologist or a counselor or even a doctor or someone in law enforcement that you should reach out to for more specialized, individualized help. I know that a lot of us know that, but sometimes I just want to make sure that, you know, if it is a really serious situation, you know where to go and you know that there are people out there to help you. But whilst you are trying to help your friend, there are some things that you can do. I think firstly, create a space for open communication. You're not going to know or learn anything. Your friend is not going to address anything unless they feel like there is a space for them to talk and talk safely about it. So I would say be patient, invite them over to your place, keep the conversation light to begin with, ask them about their life, ask them about how everything's going, so it doesn't feel like an interrogation. They don't constantly feel like you want information about their relationship and you're trying to get them to leave. Ask them questions that get them to reach the conclusion you've already reached on their own, because that will be more meaningful and effective if they recognize it themselves rather than having you tell them and feeling judged about it and feeling like they're getting all this information and they're not quite sure it's correct because they haven't reached the same point and the same conclusion as you have. You know, if your friend hasn't asked for help, you can't really expect to go into this conversation and just speak your mind unfiltered, right? Because they're going to be like, wait, what the heck? Where is this coming from? Like, my relationship is fine. My relationship is perfect. You know, there's a difference between wanting to help and passing judgment. And statements like, he treats you so badly, or you just have to leave him, that is not going to help them articulate how they feel and therefore get to that same point that you have. So when I'm talking about these questions that help them reach their own conclusion, this includes things like, do you think that's normal how they're acting? Or how do you feel about that? How do you feel about it when she does that, when he acts that way? Is that what you wanted in a relationship? Is that what you like in a relationship? All of these questions seem innocent enough, but I think if the person is unhappy and experiencing a difficult situation, it will reveal a lot. And it also keeps the focus on them and their feelings, not on your dislike for their partner, which I think can kind of make it seem like, oh, well, you know, they're only talking about this with me because they hate my boyfriend and they just want them gone. That's not what you're trying to do, right? You're trying to get them to open up. And if they are opening up, if they do, don't judge them. Like I said before, statements like, how could you not see this? How did it get this bad? What do you think was going to happen? You need to break up with him. I've known this since the beginning. Dump him. That firstly is like a very shallow way of seeing things that doesn't take in the complexity of the situation, but it also puts you on opposing teams when you want to be in the same corner and you want them to see you as an ally, not as someone they need to justify their choices to. Alongside that, I also think don't try and force their hand by creating ultimatums or forcing them to really like have to come up with a plan straight away. Like, I think that sense of urgency of like, what are you going to do about it? You have to break up with them right now. This is terrible. This is a disaster. I know that you're trying to do the right thing. I know that that's where you have the best intentions in mind to help guide them out of what you see as a terrible situation. But I think that sense of urgency is going to set off so much panic and alarm that if it was me, would probably result in a complete mental and emotional shutdown. They may have just realized that something was wrong. They may have just realized that what this behavior they're experiencing is not right. They're going to need some time to adjust because they probably do love this person. You cannot go from loving someone to hating them in an instant just because your friend has said something, right? Like, it's a much more complicated journey than that. It could be take months. It could mean that they just need some more evidence to understand what is going on. And I think that that urgency created by forcing them to make a decision can create a lot of cognitive dissonance. They obviously value your opinion. They know how they want to be treated, but they also know that they love this person and they believe that this person loves them back. So it's hard to square all of those different and contradictory beliefs into one small space, right? It's hard to believe all those things at once. They're going to experience some mental discomfort while they work through that. And we want them to choose the two former beliefs, that your opinion is valuable and that they know how they want to be treated. We don't want them to choose the two former beliefs of like, oh, sorry, the two latter beliefs, latter, former, last beliefs of like, oh, this person loves me and this is normal. Also, I think it's important in these situations to have empathy for why people may accept what you don't think they deserve. It's really crucial to be aware of what keeps people in bad relationships. It's very easy for us to, you know, say that that's bad and say that they shouldn't tolerate that and that's that, you know, there it is, the logic is sound. But you're not the one experiencing the attachment. You are not the one still reflecting on the good memories. You are not the one who sees this person's potential and has imagined a future. You are an outside party, And we all know the feeling of giving someone advice we know we could never take. Or knowing that something is easier said than done. People stay for a lot of reasons. They're scared of the unknown. The situation may not be great, but at least it's the devil that we know. We're fearful of what it could mean to be alone. There is so much uncertainty to a life without this other person, without the comfort of a partner. And although it is maybe a toxic relationship, a negative relationship, at least it feels comfortable and familiar, and leaving feels really scary. It may also come down to poor self-esteem. They might not think that they can do better. We all have our own sense of self-worth and our self-concept. And although you may be looking at your friend being like, literally, you are the most beautiful, magnetic, intelligent, wonderful human to exist, they may not share that belief or see it from your outside perspective. I think also sometimes we are blind to the problems in our relationship because we need to be in order to survive, in order to, you know, from a place of self-preservation. You know, being able to recognize that things are wrong would mean that we would have to leave, which could jeopardize our safety, which could put us in the place of a lot of doubt and fear. So it's easier to think that this is normal. It's easier to accept what is happening to us. There's also shame, a lack of resources, or the fact that what they're experiencing has become normalized. There is this theory in psychology actually called learned helplessness that we've spoken about on the podcast before. And essentially, researchers discovered this idea when looking at experiments with dogs. And it was pretty nasty, but they would tie these dogs up and they would essentially abuse them, and they couldn't escape because they were restrained. They would then let the dogs go and they would continue to abuse them. So even though the dogs weren't chained up, even though they really were free to go wherever they wanted, free to escape the pain, they stayed because they had normalized the experience and they had learned that they were helpless in changing anything. Sometimes these things are so ingrained, they take time to dismantle. So you just have to be there for them. You have to be gentle, offer support, a shoulder to cry on, a place to be heard, and enlist the help of others they trust and love to get them to a point where they feel secure enough and safe enough and supported enough to do something, right? If they do make the decision, keep them focused on the future. How much better it is going to be, how much you love them and believe in them, how much they have waiting for them in the next few months that is going to be so beyond their wildest dreams. Paint a picture for them and affirm their choices. Affirm that this is the right decision, that they are making the right choice, that you are proud of them. But don't lose hope if, you know, they go back a few times. Your job is not to force them into a decision they're not prepared for, but to love them and aid their decision, even if it's, you know, not the one that you would make. These situations are hard for everyone. I know that we started off talking about, like, just personally not liking somebody's partner, which is such a common experience, but it can get more extreme than that. And I know you feel a supreme sense of duty and you want to do something and you wish that you were in charge and you wish that you could make this change happen, but it's also not about you. I think in all of these examples, whether you dislike your friend's partner for arbitrary reasons, from a place of jealousy or from a place of genuine concern and safety, that is not about you. None of that is about you. It's about your friend. It is about what you feel they deserve, what they do deserve, the relationship that they have with you. And I think sometimes we can let our own ego get in the way and make us feel like we know best and make it feel like we could just do this all better and they should just let us take the wheel and they don't know anything and they're making these mistakes and what were they thinking? It's not our journey. It's not our life. It's not our decision. So you just have to be there to support them and pick up the pieces at the end of the day because, you know, your friend will only listen and accept help when they are ready. And if you alienate them by judging them, by being like, your partner's such a loser, they're annoying, they're awful. You know, like I said before, we know what it feels like to be in love. Whose side do you think they're going to choose? It's not rational. It is definitely not logical, but it's very human. to let ourselves be guided by emotion. So I hope that this episode has been of some help. I'm going to leave some resources in the description. I know that this was kind of ended up being a really vulnerable and intense conversation, but I also hope that it helps because I know that a lot of us in our 20s are witnessing this or have experienced this where someone's just in that kind of relationship where you're like, do I need to say something? And it's hard to decide whether you do or whether you need to stay silent. So I hope that this has kind of guided you in that dilemma and in that experience. I've been there, I've done that, I've got the t-shirt. I have been both friends in this scenario. And, you know, there were things that I think I've said in the past to friends that I shouldn't have said that have tarnished our friendship. And there has been things that have said to me that have made me really isolate myself and not want to talk to those people. So hopefully I've brought that experience to the table. You've taken something away from it. You've learned from it. And if there is someone you think needs to hear this episode, please feel free to share it with them. Share them a link. Let them know that they're heard. Let them hear this advice for themselves, maybe. If you have an episode suggestion or if you just want to get engaged with the community, please follow along at That Psychology Podcast on Instagram. We would love to see you over there, and make sure to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you are listening right now. And make sure you're following along. We've got some really cool episodes coming out. Some that are a little bit less serious than this, but once again, I'm wishing you love and luck, and we will be back next week with another episode. Ugh, our 20s. The drunk dialing, the forgetting to wash our face at night, and yes, neglecting our teeth. Don't do that last one. You only get one set of teeth, so you need to protect them. Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface and locks in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. Pronamel also makes a new mouthwash, which helps to repair acid-weakened enamel beyond brushing alone. Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy your toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com today. It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock, one at Flatiron Plaza in New York City and one at Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with giveaways dropping every hour. On the hour, it is the perfect time to try, like, and share Black Lead products. It's free, it's for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black Lead products that are creating a new world of choice at Walmart. Trust me, you don't want to miss it.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
I love being able to talk about brands that I use on my podcast, and I've personally been using this one for over 5 years. Our sponsor, Nature's Way Alive, women's multivitamin gummies are specifically formulated for women. They contain 16 vitamins and minerals, including the full B vitamin complex to help convert food into fuel and have the added benefit of supporting healthy hair, skin, and nails. With just 2 delicious gummies, Nature's Way Alive women's multivitamin gummies are an easy way to feel like your best self every day. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/Gemma10 and use code Gemma10 at checkout for 10% off any Alive women's multivitamins. Terms and conditions apply, valid through June 30th.